seats, and enjoy the song service. I want to see him high and lifted up this morning. It's good to be with you in the house of the Lord this morning. Good to see each one of you here. Also miss those that are out here. We always do. As a minister, you do miss those that are missing. We know there are legitimate reasons that people have to miss sometimes, but we still miss them when they're away. You know that if I didn't, I probably wouldn't speak very much of me, would it? You know, so you know, when you're a minister, you believe the Lord is giving something to the people, and you believe in that.
Yeah.
And so it's because you know and believe it comes from the Lord, you want people to hear it. So, mm-hmm. And so then whenever they have to be away, it just kind of touches you a little bit in your heart there a little bit. But like I said, we understand. We just pray that the Lord be with those that are missing today for all the different reasons and so forth. And so just appreciate the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
So this morning I want to speak to you about eternal character. We're going to read in Job chapter 38. Job chapter 38, verse 1 through 7. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." And then I want to read from Galatians chapter 1, or chapter 4, excuse me. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time of the Father." Let's just bow our hearts to him. Lord, as we come to you this morning, we just want to tell you that we love you. We thank you, Lord, for the things that you have done for us. Lord, we realize and know that they are beyond number, that we could ever comprehend them. But Lord, this morning, as you brought us to this place, we want to say we thank you for it, and just pray, God, that this environment this morning, you would find it to be one, Lord, that you could speak to the hearts of your people. We surrender to you this morning, Lord. We've come from our jobs and from the tasks and things that need to be done. We come here, Lord, this morning just to set aside this time that we might be able to come into your presence. And so, Lord, we know that you are a faithful, true witness. You do what you say. And so we ask, God, that you'll find yourself welcome here this morning in each heart, each life. We pray, God, that you'd break the bread of life to us this morning. And as always, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Eternal character. Amen. So this morning, as we get into this, I'm gonna springboard off of Wednesday night when we talked about the new birth. And that seems to be something that is stirring in the mind of God's people, God's ministers lately, not just me and Brother Daniel, but other ministers from other places. And, you know, as Brother Daniel had mentioned the other night, I testified that same thing. You know, new birth seems like such a simple topic. You know, it's like, well, what do we need to hear that or whatever? But you know, the most single, most important thing you could ever have happen in your life is to have a new birth.
That's right.
And if it is so simple, then go have one. Mm-hmm. Go get yourself a new birth if you don't have it. Or go get somebody else one. Go have it, or go give one to somebody else. See, you can't do that. Only God can. As I mentioned Wednesday night, a new your a birth that you don't birth yourself. It comes from your parents,
right?
Right? And so we know what the scripture said, that we're not born of the will of flesh or the will of man, but by the will of God. And so we're here because He sent us here. Might have used your parents as instruments to do that, and He might, as we know through the message, He might have taken different ones and brought them together all down through genealogies to get a certain character in you that God could express to you what He wants to. That's just on a natural level, but keep in mind there is a spiritual side, a spiritual birth, a spiritual father, and a different realm. And when you're born in this life, you're born in this world. But a new birth, you're not. It's not a birth that is to this realm. It's another realm.
Yeah. Right.
And so we just want to kind of springboard off of that this morning as we begin to talk about these different things. So, you know, I believe, and I think probably anyone who listens to the message and believes the message realizes that we are in, right now, the day of the Lord.
Yeah. Right.
And so, you know, in the scriptures, just part of common message terminology we talk about all the time, when John was carried away to this day, he was on the island of Patmos, and he was carried away to this day, as the prophet told us, when it said he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and Brother Branham made it a point. And remember, the message brings to us the things we need to know.
Right.
Right? So that we see it the way God wants us to see it, so that the revelation we have is fortified to the correct interpretation of the word. And so Brother Branham made it a point to say John wasn't just in the Spirit on Sunday, the Lord's day, right, where we go to church or something like that, but he said he was caught up in the Spirit and brought to our day,
right,
to the day of the Lord. And he said that the day of the Lord is the day when God begins to do what He wants, when He has His way. Because He's allowed men throughout ages and all the systems of man and denominations and all those things to move along and do. But at some point, God says, time's up, and He begins to do what He wants. Not that He hasn't been doing what He wanted all through the ages, because we know He has, right? But you realize He's come to this place where He says, okay, now God's going to have His way. And when the scriptures speak of the day of the Lord, all through the Old Testament, it doesn't sound like a very nice thing for the most part, because it's all speaking of the judgments of God and how he's going to come and He's going to basically bring wrath upon the Gentiles, the heathens, and so forth. And as Joel says, the day of the Lord, who shall abide it?
Right.
Who's going to be able to stand when that time comes, when God gets ready to do what He's going to do, and when He's done and finished with man and all His ways, and God begins to come and pour out His wrath and His judgment, who shall be able to stand? And we realize, you know, that written way back there, but for us in the New Testament, anybody who's really got a new birth, born again, shall stand in the day of the Lord because of His grace and His mercy. And so, but we realize that when John came and was caught up to this age, and he had to turn around and look back at the church ages. So we know right now, this is what's happened through the ministry of the hour, that God turned us around and let us see the history of the church ages. So we know we're in the day of the Lord. We're in the day that God is in. It's a cycle of pouring out and bringing to pass what He wants to bring to pass as He's promised in the scriptures. And so we are in that day of the Lord. And when we think about Revelation chapter 10, verse 7, and all the things there in Revelation chapter 10, it tells us, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished. Very familiar with that. And so, what was the mystery of God? Well, the mystery of God was how that God poured Himself into Christ. Throughout all the Old Testament, living lives, it was a type and shadow. And then, so that was God pouring Himself into Christ. And then, at the end of the Old Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ came on the scene to be the revealing of those things. That was a mystery, how that God put Himself and poured Himself into a man. And the mystery continued on, how that Christ then poured Himself into a church. And throughout the ages, He's lived out through the churches. And then at the end, once again, an entity would rise up on the scene that would be the full manifestation of what that mystery was, that was the mystery of God. God in Christ and Christ in his church.
Yeah.
Right? And so in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, that mystery should be finished.
Yeah.
Right? God would be finishing up how that he poured himself into Christ and how the Christ went into his church, and then that church coming to a fullness at the end. That mystery should be finished right about that time.
Right.
And so we know that's happened. Has the seventh angel voice sounded? Absolutely. So we see just how far we are in these things. And so, you know, and the bride was included in that mystery of God.
Right.
So, but it says in the days of the seventh angel, the voice of the seventh angel, when he begins to sound, the mystery should be finished. And I had a friend up in New Jersey one time when I was there visiting with him, and we were talking about that, and he was talking about being in some services after Brother Branham was taken off the scene, and how that prophecy came out in tongues and interpretation, and how that the Lord was speaking so fervently in these meetings about Brother Branham, who had just gone, and said that the Lord spoke of Brother Branham as my precious servant. And so this brother was telling me, you know, and he was Pentecostal. He knew, you know, that I believed what I do about the prophet. And he said, you know, he said, the scripture said in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he should begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. Like as, well, it should have, but it really didn't. That was the kind of idea. Well, maybe it really didn't happen. Maybe God didn't really do through Brother Branham like what maybe he said to do. And all I can say is that God doesn't run his program like that,
right?
If God's going to do something, he does it. It's not like he tried and, well, I failed.
Right.
No, and so what you realize, the way God writes things and so forth, he gives the cow enough rope to hang themselves, or whatever the phrase is. And so he writes things in such a way so that those who have revelation understand it, and those who don't just kind of walk past it.
Yeah.
And so we realize that the mystery of God is finished. He is revealing it. And it is a mystery to the world, but it's not a mystery to the sons of God.
Right.
Because he's revealing it. And so in those scriptures it said, time shall be no more. Right? Angel put his foot on land and sea and said, time shall be no more.
Right.
And so where God was, as again, the day of the Lord, where God is finished with man, and now he's going to do what he's doing. And it's a process of time. It's not just like that. That's what people think. Oh, the coming Lord's just like that. But it's a process of time, a phasing out of things. You know, Brother M said, God doesn't destroy man. He lets man destroy himself.
Right.
It takes a cycle. But we're in the cycle where God is doing what he wants, and everything else is just crumbling.
Yeah.
Right? And so we can see that. And so God is no longer messing around with all the denominations and allowing them. In a day, as the scripture, as Paul said, he winked in previous times at the ignorance of man. But at the time that God allots it and brings it forth, he expects all to come to repentance, all to come to what he's giving out. And so if he's giving out in this day a fullness of his word, he expects people to come to that. And because denominations don't come to that, he has to say he's finished with them. And so that's what he's doing. So time shall be no more. Not that time stopped, but there's, you know, I think I mentioned it the other day, you could say, well, time, you know, you're building a house or something, you're trying to do something, and time gets away from you. You know, well, the sun's going down, we're losing light, we're time is passing. But, you know, doesn't necessarily mean that time passed, but maybe the effectiveness of getting something done. So they can no longer get anything done. Even though time's still moving on, we're in Laodicea, and it's all transitioning into eternity, the denominations can't get anything done anymore because God's not working there anymore.
Right.
He can go there and speak and bring somebody out, but that he's not working in those systems like he did in previous days gone by, because he expects all people to come to what he's doing now. And so time shall be no more, and what he's doing is he's bringing... he's finishing up redemption.
Yeah.
Right when he opened the seven seal book, He's finishing up redemption, and he's bringing forth into manifestation the sons of God.
Right.
That's what he's doing. Now I'm going to read some quotes here. And they're kind of a little bit lengthy, but I want you to hear what Brother Branham is saying here. This first one comes from serpent seed. And he's bringing this point about the sons of God coming to manifestation. He said, the serpent is that missing person between the chimpanzee and the man. Because listen and notice this now. The serpent was not a reptile. He wasn't to begin with. Right? He was a reptile. He was the most subtle of all the beasts of the field. Now, I went to the dictionary today. From everywhere to look up this word, what the word subtle means. It means to be smart, to be crafty. And the best interpretation of the Hebrew, the word maha, means having a true knowledge of the principles of life. Now let's watch this for a minute. He's smart, crafty, and yet he's called the serpent. But remember, he was the smartest thing there was, and the more like a human being than anything else there was in the field, close to the human being. He was not a reptile. The curse made him a reptile. And the Bible said he was the most beautiful of all, and even the curse didn't take all his beauty away. Yet the glorious colors of a snake is beautiful. And his grace and his shrewdness, even the curse didn't move it off. But you remember, God told him that his legs would come off and he'd go on his belly. And you can't find one bone in the snake that looks like a human being. And that's the reason science was lost. Right? Yeah. Think about it. But there he is, talking about the serpent. And God hid it from the eyes of the wise and prudent and promised to reveal it to the sons of God in the last day when the sons of God would be made manifest. So he had all these things, but when it come time for the sons of God to be made manifest, now he's going to start revealing these things, what he just said, right? When the sons of God that rejoiced with him from before the foundation of the world, when the great revelation of the Godhead and the things would be brought down in the last days, he would manifest these things to the sons of God. And you know, the scriptures teach that. And here we are. And that's the reason that God is opening these things to us. God is bringing his sons into manifestation. That's how he's doing it.
Right.
He's going beyond the limitations of any human knowledge, way into the spiritual revelation and bringing it down. Haven't we been teaching? The Bible says, here is he that has wisdom. Not what is learned in some seminary, but what he can learn on his knees before God and what it pleased God to give him, sons of God, made manifest. Amen. So I read that because I want you to know, you know, we think, oh, the time coming off, Brother Brandon said, people always looking at what God did do, what he's going to do, and missing what he's doing. And a lot of times people thinking, oh yeah, there's coming a day when the sons of God will come into manifestation. But according to that right there, he's telling us that this is the very mark of time of God bringing the sons into manifestation by him bringing these revelations. And it's beginning to speak to the heart of his people, somebody that was back there before the foundation of the world.
Right.
Amen? Yeah. So in there he says that he went beyond the intellect of man. It's not something you learn. And I want to tie that to the first birth, to the flesh. To our natural birth, right? He goes beyond that.
Right.
So if all we ever deal in is just the first birth and just intellect and all the things of man and denominations and man's system, if that's all we ever deal in, we'll never catch it.
That's right.
See, because it doesn't come that way. Mm-hmm. So, but God in these last days has bypassed all of that. Everything they teach in denominations, everything they want you to think out here in the world, and all those mentalities of every system of man, God has gone way beyond that to bring down these truths and these revelations that's bringing forth the manifestation of the sons of God. This is a very attribute of these sons coming forth because they begin to realize and recognize these things. And so it doesn't come from the first birth, but it comes from the new birth. And so it is that there is an eternal germ of God that's taking hold. And I said it that way because I'm reading another quote that we've read before in the invisible union of God of the bride of Christ. Brother M says, when you separated from your first union by spiritual death, it's because you were born, your first nature was your husband. And so when you're born again, you're separated from that first union, that first marriage, by spiritual death. And now you're born again or remarried again to the new spiritual union. Not your old natural life of the world, but eternal life. That germ that was in you at the beginning found you. And now your old book is gone with that old union. And now your name of your old has been transferred. And now you say, do you mean to tell me that my old book, God put it in the sea of his forgetfulness? You stand perfect before God. Now your name is now in the new book, not the book of life, but the Lamb's book of life. What the Lamb redeemed, not the old book of your natural union, but your new bride, hallelujah, your new life is in the Lamb's book of life, your marriage certificate, hallelujah, where your true eternal germ from the beginning takes hold. And now you're not only forgiven, but you're justified. I know we've read that before, and so it sounds familiar to many of you. And so in there, Brother Bam is telling us that when these things begin to come to pass, then that's an eternal germ. He's talking about seed germ, like he always referred to the male sperm as being germ. And so he's telling us here there is an eternal germ of God that begins to take hold in our lives. It begins to manifest, begins to live and make itself known. And so that's what's happening here at the end time. It's, you know, it's almost like we know through all ages that men had to have a new birth. And a new birth in Luther's days was not near as what it is in our day. Right. Because you're birthed to the word of your day. And so we know Luther had a new birth, and those people just simply from justification. But a new birth in our day has to be full manifestation of what God's pouring out in our day. And so we know that. And so it's almost like, here we had all the seven church ages, and finally the church finally gets to the place where the church has a new birth. Mm-hmm. When the nature of Christ comes in an end time message and brings us forth the manifestation of sons of God. And so through that, God is calling his sons to fullness, where we find out, we realize, as I mentioned Wednesday night, we realize there's a portion of the word of God in us for the hour that's in us. We didn't know it was there. You didn't know it was there. But we finally, we come to the place where we realize that there's something in us that God is calling, that God is quickening. Right. And we realize through the message that is part of the life of God. And so, like I said, we didn't know it was there. But when we come in contact with the word today, it quickened that which was in us to make it manifest in our lives. And then we become aware of that. And now you're, as Brother Ben said, you're hearing from your theophany.
Yeah.
If we were just trying to listen to denominational teaching, if we were just trying to listen to man-made first birth stuff, you wouldn't catch it. But because it's now coming down from a different realm, mm-hmm. and it's quickening the life of God that's in us, it's a birth.
Yeah.
And it's the birth for today. And it'll manifest more than what it did in Luther's day, more than what it did in Wesley's day, more than what it did in Pentecostal day. It'll manifest the word of this day because of what it is. So we didn't know it was there, but when we come in contact with the opening of the seals, with the end time message, now it begins to quicken us, and it's doing something in us greater than anything that ever happened in any denomination, throughout any age. It's a greater thing that's happening now. And so, but the message is what brings that to birth. We realize that's a germ, of, as he said, a gene of life, a germ of God. And the message brings that to life in us. And then we realize that we're sons of God. Because one of the greatest things we realize in this now is that there's something calling us.
Yeah. Right.
You know there's something dealing with you. Mm-hmm. And it's not this.
Right.
There's something calling you. And this is why Brother Branham, you know, his whole entire ministry of all those years, he got right down in the very last sermon he preached, being communion. Just like the last thing Jesus did was communion. Because
yeah.
he was a type of Jesus. And Brother Branham preached communion. And what he said in that communion message when he got there, that's where he talked about that little flower sitting there on the creek bank that was covered over with snow and ice and so forth and built a fire over the top of it. And yet here it comes. He saw it go down and saw it come back. And Brother Branham was explaining all that in this. The last thing he wanted to share with us and to tell us, he come to the realization that he was not the son of Charles and Ella Branham. Well, you know what the natural he was.
Right.
But that's not what he's talking about. He realized he was something much greater than anything in the natural, much greater than Charles and Ella Branham could ever bring forth. Mm-hmm. He realized there was something in him calling out. And so he was, you know, in a deep responding to the deep. The whole entire message from one end to the other is telling us what we're talking about here.
Right.
That we've come to this place and there's something revealing to us, not just through the ages and through denominations, that we just went and we went to church and we became good Christian people. We died as good Christian people. More than that, but now to come to know that we are sons of God, that is a manifestation of the sons of God. And so, Brother Branham is saying there, I'm not the son of Charles and Ella Branham, but he realized that he was a son of God and that God was calling him. And so he said you could look back in your life and realize that, you know, when a lot of times the kids and different people was doing different things and, you know, it wouldn't seem to bother them, but it would you. Because that was that life laying there, dormant, see. But once it becomes quickened, once it's alive, then it expresses itself.
Yeah.
And that's just all there is to it. It expresses itself. And it doesn't express something that we would understand necessarily in natural, carnal thing, like I said Wednesday night, and reading the scriptures, that the person that's led by the Holy Spirit is like that when the wind comes and it goes, and you can feel it, but you don't know where it comes from, where it's going.
Yeah.
But you know it moves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way he said in the scriptures, you know, anyone that's born of the Spirit of God, that's the way they are, that God moves you. And it doesn't make sense in the natural. The denominations don't understand it. Here we are, we have this end time message, and they think we're a bunch of insane people.
Right.
But brother, sister, if it's the Holy Spirit, it moves us. It comes and it moves us and takes us. And everybody else is wondering, just like Nicodemus. I don't understand these things.
Right.
But it's no different. It's just another level, a completed level of the things of God, of a new birth, the way the whole thing works all together. There's something moving us, and if something's not moving you, then I would wonder. I would wonder about your experience. You must have something that's moving you and be able to know that, hey, there's something down inside me that does not like this world,
right,
that loves the things of God, loves the appearing of God, loves the manifestation of His Word, loves His Word, wants that kingdom, wants to go to that kingdom,
mm-hmm.
is grieved by what you see happening in this world.
Yeah.
You've got to have something like that in there because it's a life, it expresses itself.
Right.
There's no question about it. It expresses itself. It expresses righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of the things we can see now is that we know something is calling us. We know there's a deep calling to the deep. And so that's why Brother Branham ended the sermon, the last sermon he did, was just to leave that with us, because this is the sum of the message,
right,
that God has come in our day to bring the manifestation of the sons of God, to quicken in us an end time message that we'll go back and bring the resurrection of all those that's already gone on, because we are that entity that would raise up at the end, that all they would have there, just like Jesus was for the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
So we realize that. And so, these things being the way they are, then the message, this is, get down to the more to the meat of what I'm wanting to say this morning. So, the message when it comes here in this end, the preaching that we do, the preaching Brother Branham does, Brother Daniel does, that preaching is not, it's not supposed to, it's not designed to speak to intellect. It's not designed to speak to reason. It's not designed to speak to anything that has anything to do with the first birth. Not denominational. It's just, you know, if I came here and all I did was speak to your natural birth, then all I can do is maybe stir up your natural birth and maybe get something to change in your natural birth. You see, what the message has to come, it can't come from that realm.
Right.
It has to come from a supernatural realm where it comes down, as the prophet said, it has to come down. And when it speaks to you, it's not going to be speaking on a natural realm. It's going to speak on a spiritual realm. And we understand that. But I pray that you understand what it is I'm trying to get at this morning, because it has to be a word and a power and something that's able to bring a new birth.
That's right.
It's got to be something that can actually reach down and speak to that gene that's in you and cause it to come up to life. And man can't do that, and denominations can't do that. So we're not supposed to be standing here preaching, trying to reason and trying so much to explain everything. Jesus didn't try to explain everything, right?
Right.
Jesus said things that they didn't understand. But here's the thing. You've got to come to the place where you realize that if it's a gene of God, they will not walk away from the word.
Right.
They may not understand it here, just like the disciples didn't. But there was something in them that said, like Peter said, well, where would we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Many walked away. Multitudes walked away. But a child of God will not walk away from the word. Even if they don't understand it in their own thinking. And so, Jesus didn't try to always, oh, you misunderstood me. I'm sorry. Let me explain this. He didn't do that. He said, blind lead the blind, they both fall in the ditch.
Right.
You know, don't you know that they were offended at what you said? That's what they told Jesus. Did he go, oh, I'm sorry, let me sit down so I can explain this better? And he knew that. And I'm not saying that we should just, but you understand we're speaking a message that actually goes down into the heart of man, down into his soul realm, and speaks to him in there, and it bypasses all the intellect and all these other things. And if we preach something other than that, we're not doing what God wants us to do.
Right.
We're not to be speaking to reason and anything natural birth. We're not to be trying to express the message through a compromise. Well, let's compromise it so we don't want to run people off.
Right.
Nobody wants to run anybody off. Okay, you understand? But like Brother Graham said, if you don't have in medicine, if you don't have enough of the poison in there to kill the thing that's wrong,
right,
then it's not going to do you any good. But
right. But
then if you have too much in there, then you'll hurt the patient. So there's a balance in there, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
But the message has to come from a realm that can actually speak to and quicken that life that's in his people. And not just intellect. That's why he said it bypassed all of these things, natural intellect, to come down and bring these things to us, because that was a message powerful enough to quicken that gene of God that's down in us.
Right.
Pentecost didn't do that to me. Right? In Pentecost, you can have a wonderful time, shout, praise, sing, have a good time, and it never caused this to come forth that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And I can say that because that's where I come from. Right?
Right?
But what is it? If our whole life is, oh, I just want to go have a good time. I want to just shout and sing and have a good time. Like, that's fine. We love those things. But brother, sister, if we don't come into the encounter of that word,
yeah,
it will not bring us forth. So we can't live and preach and express compromise all the time. The word will do what it's to do. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. You realize he's not talking about every last person, but he's talking about all those that were lost. He will bring them back. But it requires the word to be put forth, because that's the only thing that can bring him forth.
Right.
Amen. So we don't want to be drawing people by compromise or by games or programs or, you know, programs for the singles or programs for the seniors or soup suppers. Or didn't Brother Brim say all this? Why? Because what are you drawing if that's what you do?
Right.
You know, if that's all you do, what are you going to do? You're just going to draw people to that. You want to, we can put a Starbucks right out there inside the doorway if everybody wants it. What's that going to do?
Right.
See? It does nothing. All it does is just tickle this natural birth.
Right.
But we've got to have an encounter. As Brother Rim said, if the chicken or the female bird is not coming in contact with the male bird, you're just going to have to empty a nest of eggs that won't birth. Right? We've got to come in contact with Christ Jesus, the male masculine figure, and he's the Word. And that's why Brother Branham, when he came, he had to take us back to the Word and get away from all this denominational stuff, because that's the only thing that can quicken.
Right.
And so, you know, if you have something that's contrary to the kingdom of God in your life, the best way to get rid of it is start it.
Right.
You know, if I came in here, I try to think of examples. I don't know to try and, but it, let's just say if I came in here every day and what I wanted was everybody's attention on me. Oh, there's Brother Tony. If that was what I craved, and you know that would be wrong, right? Be wrong for me to want to walk in and everybody just to have, you know, you have an honor for your minister, right? But I'm talking about something beyond what would be normal. And I have to be the center of attention or something like that. You realize if every time I would come in and cause something where everybody would look at me, I'm just feeding that. Mm-hmm. And I'm just, as long as it's being fed, it just keeps living and being stronger and stronger. That's why Brother Rim said the best thing is, man, is do the opposite.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. So if you're stingy, give stuff away.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And so that's the whole thing that I'm talking about is if we find things, if there's things in our life that's contrary to the kingdom of God, if we find a black dog in there, stop feeding it.
Yeah.
Do the opposite. And when you do the opposite, then he gets weaker and the thing that's right gets stronger. And so that's why these things are so important. We have to keep people in the presence of the Word.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's what will bring them forth. And you can say, well, they went out. Well, I'm going to tell you, it wasn't the Son of God. That wasn't his desire to make them want to go out. That was something else that was causing that in them. I'm not saying people who leave won't ever come back that they're not sons of God. But you realize that gene of God will respond to the Word.
Right.
Once it's quickened. And until it's quickened, it's like what we were before we were quickened. Amen. So, we don't want to compromise and so forth, but we want to have a message that has the power enough to speak and go right to the realm that it needs to go to bring us a birth. Now, you realize the kingdom of heaven is not in our flesh, right? You know, and you know that our spirit realm, our imaginations, the conscience, memory, reason, and affections, that's the make-believer part of us. This is the unbeliever, we have a make-believe. But in our soul is where that gene is. And so we have to preach not something that just makes you feel good in the natural. Here, have a nice cup of coffee while you sit in service. Here's some donuts while you can eat and serve whatever. Natural things. Nice padded pews and nice air conditioning and all that. All that does is just for the flesh.
Right.
Right? But then you can have sermons that would actually speak out to your emotions and move masses of people by emotion. And that's what you see out there. A Pentecostal age and they're all just carried away by emotions. But that's still not the soul realm.
Right.
So the word that God has delivered to this day goes beyond intellect, beyond emotions, right into the soul realm and addresses and speaks to that seed gene that's there, if it's there, because with some people it's not there,
right?
Right? And it speaks, and that's why we can't water down the message.
Right.
Because if we water it down, it'll never reach that soul realm.
Right.
We've got to keep it pure, unhybridized word, so it'll go to the soul realm and quicken that which is in there, if it can be quickened, if it's, and it will. And so, to quicken that eternal germ of God that was in us, As I said, it takes the male germ to bring forth a birth. It can't just be church, but it has to be Christ in the church.
Right.
It has to be the Word of God in the church. And when that happens, it quickens something in you that already knows the mysteries of God.
Mm-hmm.
There's something in us, you know, like my wife said years ago, she said, I guess first time she heard of serpent seed, she said, that's right. Something in her already knew that.
Right.
But it, she hadn't, maybe hadn't crossed her mind like it didn't. I hadn't crossed my mind. I don't know. But when you hear it, you're like, that ain't nothing but the truth. Just like Sister Hattie Wright. That ain't nothing but the truth.
Right.
Right? Where did she get that? Where did Hattie Wright get that? It wasn't from intellect. See? And so that's the thing, that when we receive this quickening of the Word, now it quickens something in us that says, amen, that's right, I know that. And as I mentioned the other night, you know, spiritual amnesia. And Brother Daniel, when he opened prayer, speaking there about the sons of God, we were those morning stars, you know, that sang and shouted. And, you know, in God's mind, we were there. We held those attributes. We rejoiced in the... Let me put it this way. It's hard to wrap your head around, but just remember, God doesn't have time. What happened tomorrow is the same thing as today and yesterday and whatever. It's all right there for Him. And so, you know, before the world was, when He showed us these, as I read a while ago, when He showed us this mystery of the Godhead, that serpent seed, and in before the world was, when He showed that to His attributes, us as His attributes, and we rejoiced and we shouted and we praised God for what we saw, right?
Yeah.
That's what happened. But when we come here, we don't remember that, because we come in a natural birth. And in a natural birth, you don't know those things. But it requires... you know, we comes through natural, into the spirit, into the soul. So I can't just preach a message in the soul realm and you get it. It has to come through your natural ears and through your spirit and then down into your soul.
Yeah.
But when we come here, we didn't remember those things.
Yeah.
But this is another thing that like Brother Ram preached, all these things, all pointing to this. That when you get someone who was there, and you get them around a familiar sight, surroundings, they begin to remember. And that's what God has done in this day. Bringing a message to the very thing we heard in God's mind before the world was, that we shouted about there, now we're seeing it, and we're catching it and say, aha, that's right. And so that thing that was birthed in us already knew, because it was there.
Yeah.
And it knew. And when it's quickened now, we say, yes, amen, that's right, that's right, that's right.
Yeah.
And that's the reason, the very reason why we can say amen to these things that the world reject, is because there is something in there that matches that.
Right.
That's that deep calling to the deep.
Right.
The whole entire message from one end to the other is telling us these things, whether it's deep calling to deep or just all these things. Also knowing what is the end time, explaining all this stuff so we can understand the sons of God and who they are and what the characteristics are in this last day and what everything else is around us in contrast to that.
Right.
And so this word comes, quickens that gene that was in us, that germ of life, bringing us to life. Helping us to remember those things. It's not like we were other beings or whatever somewhere, but we were in God's mind, and because everything's the way it is with Him, it was finished. But here we are. And so when this happens, quickening, now you can live from something on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
You're not living from the outside. You're not living from intellect. You're not trying to just always live by whatever that satisfies the flesh.
Right.
Not even just always trying to satisfy even your mental status so much. But we live from something that's down on the inside of the inside. Again, the message from beginning to end. When Brother Branham said, I was there, and Satan jumped up there and said, don't you say God was a good God? His wife's laying in the morgue, and now his baby's dying. Mm-hmm. And Brother Branham ended that whole thing by saying, I was just about to say, if God's going to be that way, I won't serve him. But then something down on the inside of the inside mm-hmm. took hold. Your prophet was telling you that if it hadn't, and he said, oh, if it wasn't for that, if it wasn't for that soul realm and that gene of God down in there, Satan, I was afflicted in the flesh, I was losing my wife, my child, and Satan was speaking to my mind, and I was agreeing with him. But praise God, there was something down in that soul realm that surpassed all of that and said, blessed be the name of the Lord. He gives, he takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so that's the whole thing. This message is brought to us so that we'll live from the inside of the inside and not flesh and not just a good time spiritually even. But we'll live from the gene of God down inside us that's been quickened. And so when you live from the inside, like I said, you don't always understand where people's going, what it is. But as long as they're being led by the Holy Spirit, then that and it agrees with his word. If it is the Holy Spirit, it will be his word. It lived by the inside of the inside. How did Abel know to offer blood? Scripture doesn't say anything about God coming down. You know, it said God came down and spoke to Abraham and spoke to Moses and the different ones. Scripture doesn't say anything about God speaking to Abel. So how did Abel know? And we realize it was revelation.
Right.
But what enabled Abel to have that revelation? And it was the gene in him.
Yeah.
That when events and things happened, it was quickened.
That's right.
And he lived by that, and he sacrificed by that, and he his brother Cain did not have that. So he's living from the inside. What told Rebecca to water those camels?
Yeah.
The scripture said when I was reading this a day or so ago, but Eliezer prayed and said, let it be that the damsel that comes out that says to me, I'll give you to drink or whatever, and let it. And then she says, let me water your camels. Let that be the one that you've chosen to be the wife for Isaac. And so it all comes to pass. And then later when he's telling that to her family, and he said, I said, Lord, let the damsel that comes out. And he said, I hadn't even finished speaking this in my heart. He hadn't even spoken out aloud. The prayer was a silent prayer. In his heart, he spoke and said, God, let it be her. How did she catch that? She didn't hear it. The men that was with him didn't hear it. But she caught that plan of God.
Right.
Why? Because she had representation down inside. What about the woman at the well? What told her that this was the Messiah?
Right.
Because she had representation down inside. The priest didn't have it, and so they couldn't recognize it. So this is the manifestations of the sons of God when they are connecting to these truths and saying amen to them in this hour. This is the bringing forth and the manifesting of sons of God. And of course, don't make the mistake that I've had in the past thinking about that, that when the sons of God become manifested, they'll be speaking worlds into existence. And they might at some point, somewhere. But I want to finish by hitting this point here. So, a few more comments about Rebecca. Rebecca watered those camels. That was a natural act that brought forth an eternal result. That's how Brother Bram said, you sisters, you serve God when you serve your husband. You know, when you, natural things, that God uses that as an eternal thing. Because Rebecca watered those camels because of character. She had something inside her that triggered that. And I think I looked it up, it's like 450 gallons of water or something like that. It was because of the number of camels, if you look at that, and how much they drink until they were finished drinking. And I was reading and I noticed that I don't think, I always pictured it as being a well where she just drew water up out like that, but I think if you look at it, it was actually one you go down into and have to come back up out of it. I've seen that in scripture, just reading it there, so. That was a lot of work. Here's a man she's never met before, don't know who he is, whatever, but she catches something from the realm of God that's down inside that matches a character there, and she goes into action. And the expressing of that eternal attribute of God, that character that comes from that, that expressing that, she was in service to the plan and will of God, not even realizing she was. She didn't realize what was going on at that point. She was in service to the plan of God and not even looking for anything in return. So many people, I even thinking about Jacob, well, if you'll do this and if you'll keep me, then you'll be my God. And I thought, what? Right? But a full, mature son or daughter of God will be in service to God, living from that attribute and be in service to God, whether God blesses them or not. That's right. And so, this is character on display. Character that when things aren't going your way, you'll still live according to that eternal realm by that revelation that's burning in your heart, even if things don't go your way. So the manifestation of the sons of God, or this attribute, is character on display. And a character that once you realize who you are, but you don't use that for yourself. Jesus knew who he was, and when it come his time where he could have called for 10 legions of angels, he didn't do it. When he could have fled and not went to the cross, he did. He went anyway. That's why when we read the scriptures there, the Son, even though he's Lord of all, he's under tutors. He's no different than a servant. He has to do the same work they do. He has the same opportunities they do. And yet he's a son. And he's going to be, at some point, he's going to be in control of the whole thing. But until the Father says, now that time's come, now you're in control, that son has to be like a servant. Right. Servants look at him and say, you can't do nothing to me because you're a servant. You know, that wouldn't be wise because he might own him someday. But you understand, no different than a servant. So they have to work the same fields, have the same sun on the, you know, the sunburn. Right? So the servants, but see, he's got to conduct himself under tutors. He can't be like the servants, even though he's out there. So they can talk about filthy things. Not him, even though he's right out there. So he could do that, but he's not, because of who he is. They can look at filthy stuff on their phone, but he won't. They can gossip, but he won't.
Right?
They can spend their time doing frivolous things, but he'll spend time doing something that builds character and that expresses who he is.
Right.
He'll be doing that. And so, you know, we've come to that age where God has said, you can watch what you want to watch. You can talk about what you want to talk. You can eat and drink what you want to eat. It's all there. It's available. Just go get whatever you want. The store has it. You can hang out. You can go here. You can go to bars. You can go to church. You can go fishing. You can do whatever you want. Your conversation can be whatever you want. You can tune into whatever you want. It's all right there. Now, what are you doing? What are you spending your time doing? And so you see that character on display in this hour. It's more than just finding that Son of God, that gene, but it's that gene expressing itself, maturing itself in the presence of things, knowing who it is, but yet not trying to be anything great, but just humbling itself to the plan and will of God. That is character on display. And not trying to build oneself up, but to submit See, most of us, maybe all of us, have had supernatural things happen in our life. Healings, experiences. And we know that God can deliver us from anything that comes our way.
Right.
He's done it before, you know. And we know that He can. But a lot of times He hasn't. A lot of times He doesn't. Why is He doing that? Because He's molding your character. Molding and making you into what He wants you to be.
Yeah.
And if you had no opposition, then you would have no battle or be no character, because character is a victory.
Mm-hmm.
If you never had anything like that, you never come forth in the character that He wants you to have. And so, we're in this place where we know that He can take the pain you have in your back out, or pain you have in your hips. I've had problems with sciatic nerves before, or whatever. Yeah, He can take that away and even pray and ask Him, and He hasn't done it or doesn't do it for a while. Maybe you go for months or whatever, but that doesn't faze a son of God who's living from the soul realm.
Right.
Right.
He'll serve God regardless. So Jesus didn't use His power for Himself whenever He could have, Brother Ed said, He could have smote Satan any way He wanted to. And Jesus could have called for those angels, but He didn't. Because if he would have tried to protect Himself, then He wouldn't have redeemed you and I.
Right.
And a lot of times you're in an argument or in something like that, and if you try to protect yourself, you won't redeem nothing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times God wants us to take the seat of being done wrong and take it patiently, as Peter said. Brother Branham didn't use his gift for Himself either. Remember whenever he was had the place on his leg for months and months, and they were out camping, and Billy Paul was sick, and Brother Ram walked over and prayed for him, and Billy Paul got well like that, and just a few minutes later they were talking about it. Brother Ram said, God healed Billy Paul just a few minutes ago. But he pulled his pant leg up and showed that place on his leg, and he said, that's been there for months. He said, that gift's not for me, it's for you.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that. And when Brother Branham was all mangled up in that car wreck, all twisted around the steering wheel or whatever, it's hard to imagine what it was, and Sister Meade is dead in the car wreck. And Billy Paul said, Daddy, just speak the word. Brother Branham just looked there. But he went around there, and when he said that Meade was dead, Brother Ram said, give me your hand. Called her back. Why didn't he do that for Himself? Because God wants us to know what it means to be a manifested Son of God.
Yeah.
It's to be Christ-like. And that doesn't mean you stand up there and you just, anything that comes at you, whatever, but that means being led by the Spirit of God and being Christ.
Right.
And Christ was a sacrifice. Not living for Himself, but living for others.
Right.
And not always trying to protect self. Brother Branham knew they were taking his tent from him. Signed it anyway. It's not about what you can get here. It's not about what you can experience down here in this world. But it's living in another realm. Living out the plan and purpose of God. Always honoring the word. Even when things don't go your way.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to a sermon, and Brother Branham said, this was End Time Evangelism. He said, you might hear me preach these messages. And you might see the Holy Spirit discern and do great things and perform miracles. We might see all that. And he said, and you might pray, and it would never come to pass. Brother Ben said, go on. Your reward comes at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. It doesn't matter what stacks up in the natural, as long as we just keep serving God, keep living by that eternal attribute from us, expressing the character of that eternal attribute. And when it's over and done with, God will say someday, this is my son, hear ye him.
Right.
He'll change. But until that time comes, we're just like servants.
Right.
We're just no different. We live, and if God says, no, I can't do this for you right now, then we just live and go right on loving Him, appreciating Him, because He is our Heavenly Father, and He knows what we need. That's really hard to wrap our head around, especially if you have pain in your body. Especially if you have things, and you're looking at me, and you're like, yeah, it's happening to me just like it is to all the people that's gone on before me. You understand that? It's hard to wrap your head around that, but God knows what He's doing with each one of us. He knows.
Yeah.
And the best thing we can do is just follow His leadership, and if His leadership is like John the Baptist says, well, your ministry is only going to be 6 months, and I won't take you home. If God says that, then it's amen. That's exactly how we feel about it. Amen. Let's let the musicians come. We just bow our hearts. Lord, as we come to the end of this service now, we pray, Lord, that the words that I've shared this morning, God, that it would be something that your people can feast upon for several days, that they can think about these things. Lord, to search their hearts, begin to look down inside and ask the hard questions and go into the places, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would lead them. Lord, maybe praise places and things that they've not, they've avoided in the past. And we just ask, God, that, Lord, that they would find a strength just to come forth in you with these things that we spoke of this morning. May they find in themselves that attribute of speaking and crying out, that they realize there's something in them that is not part of this world. We pray, God, that you just quicken all those things. Strengthen them. May they grow into healthy, full, mature sons and daughters of God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand.